Blog Talk Radio.
Chicago, that's right. It is Monday, November 27th, 2017, and Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side studios located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And man, we have a show for you today. Today is going to be good. I hope y'all ready for this. It's Missional Monday. Y'all know what it is. That's outreach. That's evangelism. That's how what we need to do to get people into the church. How do we draw people in? That's what Missional Monday is all about. We know the mission. Go ye therefore everywhere and tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord. Amen. That's what Missional Monday is all about. I hope y'all ready for this. Today's topic of conversation is going to be good. You ready? How to break through when your church seems so small. How to break through when your church seems so small. That's the topic of today's conversation. I'm excited about it. I hope y'all are too. As always, it's your boy, your host, Minister Dana L. King. I'm in the studio all by myself today. Pastor Parks is out. You know, he's getting ready for this big event for his for his holiday toy drive, his Christmas toy drive. I'm not going to say holiday. He's getting ready for his holiday, his Christmas toy drive. So he's not in studio today. Because he's picking up toys. He's somewhere picking up toys. So that's why he's not here today. he's not in today, but he may be with us on Wednesday. That's always going to be fun. Looking forward to talking with him a little bit later. Maybe if he's getting some free time, possibly he can call in for a hot second. But it's going to be a good time, man. But Pastor Parks, again, he is out picking up toys. He's got a big event coming up. I'm going to share that with you, too, on December the 8th. It's a fundraising gala. That's going to be held at the JLM Christian Center. I'll give you more on that later on in the show. But that's going to be good. I hope y'all are ready for that as well. So, but look, let me give y'all a rundown. Let me get a rundown real quick on hype. Man, y'all coming on in. Charles King, my cousin from somewhere down the line we related. Charles King is in the house. God bless you, sir. I see you on Facebook Live. So many of y'all, man, I love y'all so much. Let me give you a rundown how you can be a part of today's show. If you're already listening on the line, simply push 1. That'll get you to my producer, the best producer in the world. One more time, happy belated birthday to her. Y'all might have missed it. You know, she funny acting. She ain't put her stuff up on the Facebook, so y'all can see it was her birthday. But it's all right. We love her anyway. But anyway, big shout out to her. She's manning the phones on the other side. She got all that stuff under control, so y'all hit her up. Y'all push 1 if you're already listening on the line. That'll get you into the show. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that phone number is area code 347-934-0546. Amen. Amen. If you want to email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We would love to read that email for you on the air. Social media, we're all over that as well. If you want to email the show, if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. We would love to hear from you all that way as well. That's our Twitter handle at TTLO Radio. Yes, sir. Facebook.com. You can find us right there, Facebook.com. Y'all come on in the room. I see y'all coming on in. I'm going to speak to a bunch of y'all in a minute. Give me one minute. But there you go. You can definitely find us right there. Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Would love to hear from you all that way. And then the live streams are up and running. I believe they are. Yeah, we good. Bless the Lord. No drama today. We are good. Ustream.tv. You can find us right there. That's Ustream.tv. Do a simple search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon. You can find us there. And then Facebook Live, Facebook.com /TTLO Radio. That's where we are. You can definitely find us right there. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Do a simple search there. Just type that in, rather, and you can find the live stream right there up and running. And then last but not least, subscribe to our podcast. Go to your iTunes account. You know what the cool thing? Every now and then I just do it because it's still a little bit unreal to me, you know, that your stuff is on iTunes. Maybe that don't mean nothing to y'all. Maybe that's not a big deal. But you can go to iTunes and you can just type in the name of your stuff and it just pop up in the search engine. I just think that's kind of cool. Y'all might not think that's a big deal, but, you know, maybe I get excited about just I get excited about little stuff like that. But anyway, go into your iTunes account, go to your podcast section, do a simple search for take all y'all with them devil phones, excuse me, iPhones, all y'all with them iPhones, y'all can just go right there and download the podcast, and it will be real easy for you to do. Amen, amen, amen. Let me speak real quick to all the people who are already listening on the line. Y'all are blowing up the phone lines already. God bless y'all for jumping on in the phone room. Bless y'all. Let me see here on Ustream. Let me see. Hello, Ustream. My God. Hello, Ustream people. How y'all doing? All right. And then Facebook, let me speak to y'all. See, Ustream, let me say this again. Ustream, y'all on here as anonymous. Anonymous 46538, whoever that is, God bless you. Anonymous 24361. Anonymous 553-72. See, y'all on here is anonymous. I don't know who y'all are, but God bless y'all. Amen. Amen. Bless y'all. There's a bunch of y'all on here. Amen. Thanks. We'll be so thankful to have you. But on Facebook, though, I can say some names because I can see the names. Phenice Aristide. God bless you. Yvonne Woods. Bless you. Brittany Francis. Francis. God bless you. Angela Johnson. What's up, twin? God see you. Stephen Ramsey, God bless you. Harold D. Washington, what's up, Pastor? How are you, sir? Angela says, I'm tuning in from American Airlines. Yeah, you back at work. I see you. I ain't mad at you. Roy Summers, what's up, Bowling buddy? How are you? God bless you. I'm about to tell y'all, too, about y'all prayers for Bowling. Because we're going to talk about that, too. Charles King, one more time, my cousin from South Bend, Indiana. What's going on, sir? Charles King III, bless you, sir. Called a little bit of your service yesterday, man. It was powerful. Called a little bit of that during the morning service yesterday. Reggie Finley, God bless you. Felicia Martin, Evangelist, what's going on? God bless you. Leonard Manise Jr., come on now. Y'all, God bless you. Natalie Ward, Yvette Quinones, come on. Frida Turner, Joseph Wynn Fitness Winfrey, ooh, y'all got these names. Leslie Kelly, God bless you. Sandra D. Hooper, man. Tammy Quinn, Harold Spencer, my God. Angela Johnson. Oh, I said you already. All right, God bless you. Kenya Brand New Young, God bless you. Vanessa Bowers, God bless you. My brother is in the house, DJ Daniel, DJ DMC McGee. What's going on, man? My brother's in the house. Man, you want to come be on the show? Just come on the show, man. I know it's a Christian show. You know the Lord. I know you don't do all that, but you can still come on the show. I need to have you on here, man, but you know you can't talk too much. But come on, man. I need to have you down here in the studio with me, man. Vanessa Bowers, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I'm just so grateful, man. Y'all popped in early. And then all these folks then popped in on the phone side. Bless y'all so much. Amen. Amen. So look, real quick. And if I didn't say your name, it ain't because I didn't see it, because the screen done scrolled up and y'all done already shot by me. And I missed you that way. Amen. Amen. So look, y'all, a lot of stuff I want to talk about. So you know, Friday, before I left the studio Friday, I asked y'all, and I don't know if y'all thought I was joking or not, but I asked y'all, to pray for my bowling team. Did I not? I asked y'all, I said, please pray for my bowling team, because my bowling team was not doing all that well, right? I asked y'all for some sincere prayers. Now, I don't know if y'all, because I know I joke a lot, so I don't know if y'all took me serious. But I asked y'all, Prophet Cornelius Williams, God bless you. Maybe I need the prophet to pray. Because, see, I think his prayers get there a little quicker than some of my prayers and some of y'all's prayers. Maybe I need to have a prophet lay hands on come to the bowling alley and lay hands on our bowling team. Because y'all didn't pray hard enough. I'm just going to say it like this. Y'all didn't pray hard enough because we showed up Saturday and got beat up again. My God, we got beat up. Now, we did win a game. We did win a game. But it's just, you know, I mean, we won one out of three. I mean, we was on like a 4-week losing streak, and that's why I asked y'all to pray for the bowling team, because we struggling. We just struggling right now, and I can't understand it. I can't explain it. I'm just asking y'all for y'all sincere prayers around this particular event here. Now y'all pray for y'all stuff. I'm asking, the preacher is asking for prayer. Now I don't ask y'all for much. I don't ask y'all for no money. I don't get on here asking for no money because I don't do all that. Don't need y'all money. Appreciate you, but don't need it. However, I asked y'all for some prayers for the bowling team. What's going on, Darius of Port of Springfield? I see you. But I'm asking you, I asked y'all for some prayers for my bowling team, and y'all just left a brother hanging. And I mean, y'all left me just hanging out there bad. Now, no kind of support. And I thought y'all say y'all love the preacher. How y'all going to not support the preacher in this little endeavor? All I wanted y'all to do was send up. I figured if all y'all be watching and listening, y'all could have just jumped on in there and sent up a prayer for me for Saturday. So I'm gonna ask early, right? I'm going to start asking today that y'all pray for this coming Saturday. Know what I'm saying? Right, right. I'm going to ask you, really, Angela, you trying to say ain't no anointing on my team? Y'all see how Angela do me? That's why my mama, see, that's why I had no soot in my mama. Had no, okay, we be fighting, because see, Angela like to pick fights and stuff. I could tell she probably was, you know, she probably was got a little bully in her. She like to pick fights and start stuff, but I ain't going to fight. I ain't finna fight with Angela this morning, this afternoon. Y'all get Angela. But I'm just saying, I asked y'all for some prayer. I mean, we was good and terrible. Again, good and terrible. Now, y'all can do better by what y'all pray. I'm just asking y'all, can y'all show up? Can I get about 3-4 preachers? Look, I'm going to go a long way. I don't care if you are a senior pastor, a administrative pastor, youth pastor. I don't care if you're the pastor of the janitorial committee. Can I get 3-4 pastors just to come to the bowling alley next week and just bless the bowling balls? Maybe y'all come with some anointed oil and something. Because I'm serious. Maybe if y'all come to the bowling alley with us and just pray over our team, maybe we'll do a little bit better. Because it just ain't working out. I'm just hoping y'all will come on and help us work this thing out. I asked y'all sincerely for y'all prayers, and y'all just left me out there. But it's okay. I understand. Y'all know y'all be funny acting. I understand. I know a whole bunch of funny acting folk. But I'm just really asking y'all to come on out and help a brother out. Or just send me your prayers via the Facebook, you know, send them via the email. Do something to let me know y'all, you know. I mean, it might not be important to y'all, but it's important to me. I don't know what losing is. And I'm talking about bowling. What's the problem? Yes. What do you mean by it? I'm asking y'all for prayer. So my prayers for my bowling team? Somebody might be going through something. God says whatever we ask, in his name, that's what he said now, whatever we ask. So I'm just asking for prayer. So anyway, y'all help a brother out. You know, pray that we get some better something. I don't know, but we need it. We definitely need it. Anyway, real quick, this little tidbit in the news, and I don't know what happened as I was pulling in, and I had to turn my scanner off because I was trying to get into the church, but there is, apparently there was a shooting right here in front of the church today, right here on Central and Fulton. They have the street blocked off from Central, from midway past, if you're going north on Central, right past Washington Avenue, the streets are blocked off right from right at the streets, and I'm not sure what happened. I'll find out once I get off the air. But there was a – you ain't praying for that. See? You ain't see what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? I ain't praying for that because it ain't what you like. But anyway, there was a shooting right on the street, and the police are out there, the ambulance is out there, and they got the tape out there. The streets were taped off. Again, not sure what happened, but we definitely want to keep whatever happened, you know, keep if somebody was injured or whatever, we want to keep them in our prayers, man. It's just really sad that this is happening, and there's a school right across the street. So whatever happened, it happened right outside the school. So we're talking, they have the street blocked off, so I'm not sure exactly what it is. I'll find out in a minute. I can't have the scanner on and be on the air at the same time. If I was not here today, this would be the time I would be on call for the whole citizens police thing, and I would know what the alert is. But I'm not showing anything right now. But y'all just stay in prayer, man. It's really sad that this would take place again, right across the street from a school, right across the street from a church, and like I said before, it looks like there was some sort of a shooting. right here outside of our church, which is where my studio is located, right here on the corner of Central and Fulton. So we definitely just want to keep, you know, keep our community, man, and these children, keep our community and these children in our prayers, because you know what? It doesn't take much, and it's an old school saying, but bullets don't have a name. And unfortunately, these idiots that are out doing the shooting ain't been nowhere to practice, don't know what they're doing in most cases, and they're just out here just reckless, not caring about whose lives are touched or anything like that, man. And we got to do something. We do. We got to do something. But that. But you know what, though? There is still room for improvement. There's still some things that we can do. And, you know, it's easy to talk about it, but there's still some things we can do. We just going to pray. And this is the unfortunate side of still having good weather. I'm going to say that, too. As much as I'm enjoying the fact that it's 56 degrees, you already know where mine is. That's to answer your question. But it's 54 degrees right now? That's not normal weather for this time of year, but unfortunately this not normal weather brings out all the goofies. So we have to definitely want to, you know, keep our city in prayer, man, and all cities, because it's not just a Chicago thing. But I speak about Chicago because that's where I am. That's where my studio is. That's where the majority of my family is. That's where my loved ones are. And it's a sad, sad deal. And then lastly, even here in Austin, in the Austin community, right? Literally, I think about less than a half a mile away from here, there was a home invasion. Two people pushed the door in on a 63-year-old lady, and beat and robbed her at gunpoint in Austin. I'm gonna just let y'all think about that. This happened on yesterday was Sunday. This happened on Saturday night. 63-year-old woman got her door pushed in, and this wasn't late Saturday night. This was at like 7-8 o'clock. Got her door pushed in, and was beaten and robbed here in the Austin community. Oh, Jesus, help me. We got to do better, and I'm not sure exactly what we can do. It's just appalling to me that this continues to happen, man. And I don't even know. And speaking of that, so you know, Black Friday, y'all know Black Friday, the whole shopping deal. People going out spending money that they ain't got, but people went out doing shopping on Black Friday, and then today is what they call Cyber Monday, right? Today is Cyber Monday, so today is like the best day for web deals, where you can go online and buy stuff, right? I mean, I don't care what it is you're looking for. There's probably some version of it online right now, and people are out shopping and doing all this stuff. You know what the biggest had the largest increase over the weekend was for shopping? You know what had the largest increase, almost 200% increase? Was people applying for guns. I hope y'all didn't miss that. This past weekend, more than 100, they had 100% increase from last year. People applying for handgun licenses, background checks to own handguns, concealed carry permits. More applications went through on Black Friday. More people apparently went to the gun ranges and the gun stores and not – watch this. They didn't buy one gun. They bought bunches of them. I'm hoping y'all following what I'm saying. People went out and bought large numbers of weapons this past weekend. And I'm going to say this to my and I don't say this as a joking deal. I don't say going back to work. I don't say this as a joking deal, but people are buying guns like they are going out of style. So I watched this thing this morning. On the news, and the gun buys went up an alarming amount. God bless you, Lisa King. Glad to see you online. Good to hear you back, man. Y'all, the prayers are working. The prayers are working. God bless you that you're home and out of the hospital. We definitely were praying for you on this side over here. it's just amazing that this happened, man. And even today, and I just thought about that with the shooting that just happened right outside over here. And I'm getting word now. It was in the last hour, an hour ago. Some people were shot right here on Central in Fulton. Wow. Jesus. Yeah. Okay. So I'm not sure the ages. I don't have that information yet. But as soon as I get it, if it happens, if I get the information while I'm live on the air, I'll definitely share that with you. I'm going to say this, though, and I don't say this in a joking manner. I think and I say this to my and I know I got listeners of all races and creeds and beliefs and everything else. Let me say this. I think it's wise. I just think it's wise for you to go out and get yourself properly trained and go out and get yourself a handgun. I know that's going to be real radical, and some of y'all are probably going to look at me real crazy for saying it. I just think it's a wise thing to do. Seriously, I think it's a wise thing to do. Now, again, based on your temperament, if you are easily offended, if you're over the top emotional, then no, that's not for you. But I'm saying for people who can think rationally, who are not careless, people who will take the time to learn, I think it's a wise thing to do, especially for people of color. And I'm going to say this for people of color. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. No, I don't think everybody should go get a concealed carry permit. I'm not, because I don't want nobody getting in trouble. Don't get me wrong. If you can go get it, great. But I'm going to say this again. I think for the betterment of our people to go out and protect your families and protect yourselves, unfortunately, in this climate that we're in right now, with this person we have in the White House right now, and this just goes to show you where how leadership is a problem. When leadership is a problem, it trickles down everywhere. See what I'm saying? So when you have all this negativity coming from those who are in charge, and right now we know who's in charge of the White House, but I'm not even just talking about the White House. When you have negativity being spewed from leadership positions, when you have, for lack of better words, y'all forgive me, when you have piss poor decisions, and I'll say that, and y'all will be all right with it. When you have piss poor decisions being made by people who are in charge, you are going to see the ramifications of that throughout. The ripple effect will follow. And right now you have a leader in Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, number 45, Orange Julius, whatever you want to call him. That Orange Julius just blessed me. That just blessed me. Orange Julius. Do y'all remember the Orange Julius used to be in the mall? Anyway, I'm sorry. That just whole thing just took me out. But when you have someone like him who is in office, who spews hate, who spews dissent, who always is trying to rattle the cages of his little crew, his little people, that's going to have an effect. You're going to have people always on edge. And unfortunately, as long as he is in office, minorities, African Americans, Hispanic, Latino Americans, Asian Americans, Muslim Americans, whatever your thing is that ain't white, there is a target that is being placed on us. And I just think for the betterment of you and your family, I think it's a wise choice. I think it's a wise choice. And the other reason I say to do it is because do it before you can. What do I mean by that? Do it before, because right now, anybody can go and get a gun. Anybody can go, oh my God, yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm reading this now through my Austin community updates that a mother and a 9-year-old were shot. Wow. Right here on the corner of Central and Fulton. So that's what I pulled up to when I got here to the studio today. Yeah. Wow. Woo. Apparently they were rushed to, what's the hospital right here in Oak Park? Is that West Suburban right there on Austin? I can't even think of this. Whatever that, yeah. Wow. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Right out here on Central and Fulton. Crazy. Oh, my. Okay, I'm sorry. That just took me out. I told y'all I would inform y'all as soon as I found out. Wow. That's crazy. So anyway, I believe that it is imperative that we as African Americans and any other minorities in this country do what's necessary to protect yourself. Right now, the gun laws are for everybody, right? And and unfortunately, there has not been an increase in African Americans buying legal guns. I think for the protection of your family, and ladies, I'm gonna go ahead and say this, and I know I'm gonna get some pushback because there's a few people that I know for a fact been trying to get a gun for years, but you know, I tell certain people no about guns because they're emotionally unstable. I'm gonna leave that where it's at. However, I believe at this day and age, to protect your family, I think it's necessary. And go and get the training. Don't just go buy the gun and put it in your drawer. Go and take the courses. Even if you don't want to go through the concealed carry class and carry your weapon, but go to the gun range. Make it a monthly thing. Go to the gun range and learn how to use a weapon. And then put that thing in your house. Buy a gun lock box. Don't be stupid. Buy a lock box. Don't put your gun in the closet in the shoebox, idiots. I'm going to put that out there again. Don't put your gun in the closet in the shoebox. Don't put your gun under the mattress, and especially when you got kids in the house, right? You got kids in the house. You got a kid in the house that's walking and that's able to walk and climb. So that means you got a kid from 2-3 years old up until whatever. Put your gun in a lockbox. If you can afford to buy the gun, you can afford to buy the locking mechanism or just buy the trigger mechanism, the trigger locks, and put them on your weapon. Okay? It's called responsible gun ownership, people. It's called responsible gun ownership. This is to protect you and your family. Watch this. From people who would want to kill you, but also to protect your family from mistakes happening in your own house. I've read too many stories about people owning guns and someone in the house gets hurt because you left a gun just laying out somewhere, or it was easily accessible. Kids are kids. I understand that. But teenagers are teenagers. They are curious. They are silly. And I don't care how much you say, you know what, don't touch this gun. Kids will run up on something, and when you ain't home, we'll get curious. And curiosity with handguns, I'm sorry, you need to do better. You need to do better. Go get the training. Go get the lock box or the trigger lock, right? I got lock boxes and trigger locks. I'm just saying, you need to have these things. You need to. It's a necessity. But go and learn how to shoot. Learn. Go and take some courses. Find out the type of handgun. Don't go by what you see on TV. Don't go by you weigh 110 pounds and you want to go buy a Desert Eagle. Sorry, that gun is too much for you. All it takes, look, it don't matter. It ain't the size of the gun. It's the right gun. I know y'all say this preacher on here talking about buying guns. I'm just telling y'all the truth. I'm trying to help somebody. The Bible says put on the whole armor of God. I'm telling you to put on the whole armor of God and then some. Huh? I'm just trying to help somebody. Somebody said, right, you can go on Groupon. Right. Thank you, Felicia Martin. You can go on Groupon. Kathleen Savon, I got a bone to pick with you. Ooh, I got a bone to pick with you, but I ain't going to pick it with you right now. But I saw you were here yesterday, and I think you went to Parks Church yesterday. Did I see that right, that you checked in at my brother's church yesterday? Parks, I don't even know if you know she was in your building yesterday. Do you know that? But she checked in at First Bethel yesterday. Amen. So I just wanted to put that out there. Real quick, you know, I just thought that was something that I should share with you all. Definitely It's just crazy right now. We definitely want to make sure that we're doing the best we can to protect our families, protect our property, our businesses, whatever it is you have to do. You know, do those things, man. Do those things. Yeah, that's where I am with that. Amen. 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 So watch this, y'all. So look at this. Look at this. The last thing I want to talk about, and I had not mentioned it yet on this show, you've been watching. There's been a whole lot of sexual harassment cases coming forward. You guys remember a couple years ago, the Bill Cosby story was the biggest thing out there, right? Everybody was talking about Bill Cosby and all these women that he supposedly did this stuff to, all these women that came out the woodwork, right? And it was like on every channel, the fall of Bill Cosby and all this other stuff, right? And that was it. And, you know, they had a field day with beating up Bill Cosby. And now it's the politics. Now it, and then it hit Hollywood, right? Then it hit Hollywood. You had these big time Harvey Weinstein and these other people has come out that they've been sexually harassing women or somewhat assaulting women. Now you got this senator, Roy Moore, I believe is his name, in Alabama, who pretty much, you know, based off of what I know to be the law, has raped 14-year-old, has had relations with 14-year-olds when he was 30. Now, I'm going to put this out there, and I'm just going to say this, and I'm going to say this real quick. You know, and it's not just the Republicans. It's on the Democratic side, too. The senator from Minnesota, the former comedian, Al Franken, he's been accused of having inappropriate touching. I'll say it that way, where he touched somebody on their butt while he was taking a picture. And then now Representative John Conyers, the most senior senator in charge of one of the most powerful parts of Congress in Washington, D.C., has now been accused. And it's just more to it, man. It's so much stuff that's happening. And I want to say this. Churches, beware. I'm just going to say it like that. Churches, beware. Churches, beware. We've heard the Hollywood folk. We've heard the political folk. We've heard all these other people come out. We've even heard in the news, in broadcasting. All these other people have been hit. And the only place where there hasn't been any revelation brought to light is at the church. And I'll say this. Churches, beware. Right, Charlie Rose. Charlie Rose. And Charlie Rose is an amazing. And here's the deal. Yes, Charlie Rose is an amazing talent for CBS. 60 Minutes, gone. Job over. Job is over. It's one of those things that just, you know, I'll say this again. Churches beware. And churches get ready. The reckoning is going to come for the churches too. And it's not going to be a surprise to us. It's going to be one of those things where, and you know, because the time has passed when the Catholic Church, but that's the right. But see, the Catholic Church was, you know, they always just kind of the Catholic Church as the Catholic Church. They never looked at the Catholic Church as part of the church. When I say the church, I mean Protestant churches. We all know about the Catholic Church controversy with the priest and the little boys. We all know about that, but I'm talking about the Protestant Church, the Baptist Church, the Kojic Church, the Episcopal Church, those churches. It's been very silent. You know, yes, we had the new birth controversy with the late Pastor Eddie Long, and yes, we've had some other ones, but it has not hit. And you got to know, it's coming. You got to know it's coming, and we just need to be prepared for it. We just need to be prepared for it. So it's just, man, it's really sad that this continues to happen. And I'll say this to the women that are out there right now: tell somebody. Seriously, tell somebody. Tell somebody. Don't. You know, and again, I know it shouldn't matter when you tell, but tell somebody. Let people know that somebody has done something to you, that somebody has harmed you. Tell somebody. because for every person you don't tell, that's somebody else that's going to be hurt. You need to let people know. And if you have pastors in pulpits and that are praying on people or have prayed on people in the past, let me make sure I say that properly, because you might not be doing it now. Come on. You might not be doing it now, but maybe there's a list of people that you prayed on in the past and they've been sitting back silent. Or maybe you even paid them off. But for some people, it ain't even about the money, because they're still scarred. They're still wounded. And this goes for women and little boys that have been touched and hurt in churches. Because the whole Catholic thing with little boys, that wasn't subject only to the Catholic Church. There's been stories of men in the Protestant churches bothering little boys. Go all the way back to Donnie McClurkin. Go all the way back to our own prophet Cornelius Williams, who tells us that he was raped and molested by someone in the church and others. So say something to somebody. It's never too late to say something to somebody. It really is. So I just wanted to put that out there, man. I didn't mean to go get all, you know, depressing on y'all, but it's something that we need to stay prayed up about and protect your children. Let me say this again. Don't let your kids go with everybody. I don't care how nice the deacon is. I don't care how nice the preacher is. I don't care how nice the usher is. I don't care how nice the van driver is. Make sure you check on these people. You know, it's amazing to me, all the stuff we go through for background checks for preachers and pastors, you know, applying for jobs. But the people who are already in our churches, who we just put over ministries, we don't do any real checking on. And I just think in times like these, it does not pay to be lazy and lackadaisical when it comes to protecting your children. I'm sure y'all hit an ambulance, right? Yeah. Something else just happened over here. I'm sure y'all hear it. But yeah, you know, it's one of the things I love about my mom's church and some other churches that I've been to is they make an announcement. You know, if your child is under the age of 10 years old, you know, a parent or an adult should accompany them to the bathroom. And that's sad that they have to make that announcement, but it's something you have to really consider and think about. It's something you really need to consider and think about. You know, oh my God. It's something that we really have to think about, because we can't afford to have we have enough scarred children now. You know, scarred children become scarred adults. And scarred adults sometimes seek to scar other people. So we need to be careful, y'all. We do. We need to be really careful that we're not inviting foolishness into our buildings without just doing some research. I don't care who you are. You know what? You're not going to work on a youth ministry of mine without a background check. And my background checks are different than some of y'all's background checks. I'm just saying. You can't allow that to happen, man. You know, people driving your van. You may have a good driving record, but you may have another kind of record. See what I'm saying? You know, you want to be over the young boys. You want to work with the young boys at the church, but you getting high every Sunday. I'm going to talk to somebody right now. You want to work with the young boys at the church, but you come to church hungover, drunk, and high every Sunday. Or your issues are so bad, you got to light your blunt up in the church parking lot before you pull out, but you want to work with the young boys in the church. So what example are you setting? Yeah, you got to take a drug test to work with the youth. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think you should have to take a drug test. I think you should take it. That's just me. That's just me. I don't care nothing about your drinking. If you're an alcoholic, we'll find that out real soon. But you should have to take a drug test. I think that's still a real deal. but I think you should have to take a drug test before you work with kids. Guess what? You got to pee in a cup and get fingerprinted to work with kids in Chicago public schools. Am I wrong about that? Y'all help me. I don't know. Now, do they do that at the charter school? I know they do it at the public school. Do they when they hire new teachers and whatever, I'm sure if they're brand new, don't they have to have a fingerprint on file? And is there a drug test necessary? I know they do in Chicago public schools. I don't know about charter schools. And I know some private schools may have different. But if you got to go through all that to work at a public school and a charter school and everywhere else, you can't do the same thing for the people who are going to be managing your youth people, your youth department, ain't your church. Now, y'all, am I overreaching? Y'all help me now. It's possible. I ain't going to deny it if I am. But am I overreaching? I just think it's a necessity. I just really think it's a necessity that we guard our children, that we guard our little boys and we guard our little girls. Anything can happen. I said this before, just because you're a parent doesn't mean you make a great youth supervisor. Okay, how many kids you got? Because we all know some folk that's got some kids that we look at every day and wonder, how do you have children? Think about that for a minute. Think about that for a minute. We all know people who have children who, from what we see and how we see their children and how we see their children acting and how we see their children's behavior, that lets us know that their parenting skills are a little bit off. Now, would you let that person then run your youth ministry? I know y'all aren't trying to hear me. I'm just saying. I'm just wondering where you know, how do you call that advancement? Amen. So real quick, I want to share this with you all. I saw this yesterday. It's a wonderful story, right? Wonderful story. So this was on Good Morning America the other day, right? A lady had gotten ran out of gas, and she was on the side of a road. She was on the side of a road, and she got stuck on stranded on the side of a road, ran out of gas, and a homeless man. Watch this now. It's amazing how God works. This is why you can't judge people, right? This is an amazing story. Homeless man, not in California. I'm sorry. This is in Philadelphia. In Philadelphia, woman ran out of gas on I-95 Expressway, right? In Philly, a homeless man who sits on the side of the road every day holding a sign saw her, pulled over. Watch this. Come on now. Saw her pulled over and told her, she was standing outside, told her to get back in her car and lock the doors. This is what the homeless man told her, because she was standing outside of her car trying to wait for help. The homeless man walked up to her. Before he even got close to her, he said, get back in your car and lock your doors. She's stuck on the side of the road. He took his last $20. Y'all watch. Come on now, y'all. Look, I'm trying to help somebody. He took his last. This thing messed me up. He took his last $20 that he had made while panhandling on the side of the road, asking for money, right? Took his last $20, walked to the gas station, bought gas can and gas pump and pumped gas, and got her enough, came back. Watch this now. Came back. Didn't ask her for a dime, put the gas in her car, told her to pop her trunk. He put the empty gas tank can in her trunk. She told him she didn't have any cash on her, right? So she didn't have anything to give him back. He didn't ask her for a dime. Y'all stay with me now. This is so good. He didn't ask her for a dime, right? She drove off. She was determined to pay him back. So she started stopping by his spot to repay him for the gas. She gave him a hat, a jacket, gloves, and some warm socks. Then she found out his name is Johnny. she found out that he was a veteran of the United States Marine Corps, as well as a former firefighter and a paramedic. Watch this, y'all. Watch this. So she saw this, and she wanted to do more for this cat, right? So she went back. She told her husband what happened. They started a GoFundMe page to help him out, right? So she used. So she started a GoFundMe page. Since then, more than 10,000 people have donated to the fund, watch this, and has raised over $300,000. Can y'all say he ain't homeless no more? Can somebody just give me a heart or something? Just that he ain't homeless no more. $300,000. $300,000. So watch this. Watch this, y'all. Oh, Jesus. So she says they took him shopping for essentials. We got him in a hotel. They put him in a hotel for the holiday weekend while they decide where his new house, where his new place is going to be. Right? She says she'd like to thank him. And then he says he doesn't want a new car. He just wants a car and a used car and more than likely says he wants a used truck. And then he says he wants to give the majority of the money away, because he knows other people who need it. He says he don't need all that money. Now, I don't know about y'all. I don't know about y'all. I saw this thing yesterday on the news, and it messed me up. Homeless. And you gave your last 20. My God. The Bible says, be careful, because you never know when you're entertaining angels. You never know when you're entertaining angels. My. I mean, it's one of those things. Where he said, "Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers." I think that's in Hebrews, right? Y'all help me out. I think that's in Hebrews. Somebody find that for me real quick. I know I got some biblical Bible scholars here, Hebrews somewhere. Check Hebrews 12 or 13, somewhere up in there. It talks about entertaining angels, strangers. Be careful. Now watch this. A lot of people drive past those people all the time. I do it too. I'm guilty. I've given to some, and some I drive right by. That's just I'll be as always. I'm gonna be honest and transparent with you. I've given to some. And others I've driven past. But watch this. The people who have poured and sold into Johnny did what they did, for whatever reason they did it, not knowing that their gift, oh my God, watch this, was going to help somebody else. I'm gonna let that just sit right there for a minute. That dollar that you gave Johnny in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia, whatever part of Pennsylvania they in, y'all saw him sitting on the side of the road, and that $1 that you sold might have been the very dollar that he helped get Kate home, that Kate then went home and told somebody about it. Kate said, come see about a man. Oh, Jesus. Y'all see, I'm going to try to help somebody. Kate said, I got to do something. So the ripple effect, we just talked about the negativity of how negative ripple effects can cause some stuff to happen. But now we want to talk about how some positive ripple effects. You may have just sold $1 into Johnny. And that $1 might have been enough to sustain Johnny until Kate came along. Oh, see. Watch this. That $1 you sold, that little change you grabbed out of your change, out of your cup holder. Oh, Jesus. I'm going to help somebody today. That little change you grabbed out your cup holder might have been just enough. Oh, Jesus. Come on now. Might have been just enough. Hey, God. Might have been just enough to sustain Johnny until Kate got there. Kate's situation, negative, out of gas. Johnny broke, homeless, right? But you gave Johnny a dollar or two that helped Johnny. Watch this. That softened Johnny's heart, because in the position Johnny is in, Johnny should be trying to save and get every dollar he can to get off the street. But Johnny decided, I'm going to help somebody. Oh, my God. There's a song that says, if I could help somebody along the way. Oh, Jesus. Johnny said, I'm going to take my last 20 and help this woman on the side of the road get some gas so she can get back to where she's going to go. And look at how the blessing, oh my God, look at how the blessing of Johnny turned around and helped all these other people. Because now Johnny wants to be a blessing to other homeless people. Johnny said, I appreciate y'all raising me $300,000, but I don't need all that. I just need enough to give me a place to stay and give me a piece of a truck. And the rest, we going to find somebody to give it to. Help us, Lord. Help us in here. Ooh, Jesus. There is a sermon in that thing right there. Oh, my God. The ripple effect. Woo! Oh, my God. There's a sermon in that thing right there. The ripple effect. Woo! My. I'm trying to. Oh, my. Help me. Ooh, thank you, Holy Ghost. There's. Okay. I just got excited. Oh, Jesus, help us. Hey. I just felt that thing. That thing just hit me. It just hit me right then. Oh, my. The ripple effect. Oof. I want y'all to get this. So we have to be careful. Hebrew. Thank you, Danielle. Hebrews 13 and 2. Hebrews 13 and 2. Let me grab that real quick for y'all. This is the amplified version. Hebrews 13 and 2 says, do not neglect to extend hospitality to strangers, especially among the family of believers. Being friendly, cordial, and gracious, sharing the comforts of your home, my God, and doing your part generously. For by this, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Oh, my. That's going to help somebody. Come on now. Oh, my. This here. Jesus. Oh, my. Woo. Yeah. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm typing some stuff because I'm writing myself some notes. I got to grab this for later. Woo, Jesus. Yes, God. The ripple effect. The ripple. Yeah, you know those. You know, you drop a stone in the water. And you see the ripples go, and when you do it outside of a lake or something, you only see how far your eye can see. Ooh, Jesus, watch this, God, you only can see how far your eye can see the ripple go. That doesn't mean the ripple stopped. It just means that's as far as you could see it, and that's just with a small rock. See what I'm saying? But even a small rock. Even a small stone causes. Oh, Jesus. Oh, this thing is teaching me right now. Even a small stone causes a ripple that can go on beyond from what you can see. Can I help somebody? Somebody who drove past somebody. Somebody who drove past somebody. Who put just a couple of coins in a homeless person's cup? That could be the beginning of a ripple effect that goes and affects nations. Oh my! All you got to do is just be willing to drop something. Oh my God! All you got to be willing is willing to release some stuff into some people. Something small. People probably seen this guy sitting on the side of the road all the time and drove right by. And look, I understand we judge. We don't want to give people money. We think they're going to drink it up. We think they're going to shoot it up. We think all the things. But if your heart, can I help somebody? If your heart was in the right place when you gave it, that's all that matters. If your heart was in the right place when you gave it. That's all that matters. If you gave that money saying, you know what, God, I don't know what he going to do with it. I hope he or she uses it for something well and something positive, then you know what? Then your heart was in the right place. If you gave it begrudgingly, then you should have just kept it. Or if you gave it out of guilt. Now, if y'all be honest, tell the truth, some of y'all been guilted into giving some money. You've been driving, you've been sitting on that. Y'all know you get off the expressway and they sitting right there and two or three cars ahead of you give something, and then you happen to look out your rearview mirror and you see the person behind you got some money hanging out, and all of a sudden that conscience of yours say, well, I need to just give a dollar so I don't look bad. So y'all don't want to tell the truth. Y'all don't want to tell the truth. I'm just saying. But watch this. Come on, Diane Peck Pope. God bless. Be a cheerful giver. Be excited to give. My God. Maybe that's why your seeds ain't producing, because you giving begrudgingly. You write that tithe check out on Sundays begrudgingly. You know, ain't gonna do nothing but mess up the money, but I'm gonna give it anyway. You know they ain't going to do nothing but mess this up. I'm going to give it anyway. Ain't no telling what they're going to do. But I'm going to You might want to just keep it. Be a cheerful giver. Say, I'm giving this so that the kingdom of God can be glorified. My God, the ripple effect. Ooh, Jesus. My. Okay. All right. Jesus. My. Fleece says it's a little different now because people don't carry cash anymore. A lot of times want to, but don't have any physical money. It don't even matter. Just get some coins. The fact that you want, Fleece, let me help you right now. The fact that you want to give says a lot. And I know some of y'all carry them big old purses. Some of y'all carry bags. It's just way too many. You got 30, 40 cents hanging around the bottom of your purse. If you're in the car, you got a quarter in your cup holder. If that's all you got, that's all you got. And then watch this. If you really mean to give, I'm finna test your mettle. And I ain't talking about you, Felicia, but I'm finna test your mettle. If you really mean to give, you ain't got no cash. You know where he at. You know where she at. You really want to give something because God done put this thing on your heart. Drive your hips to the nearest ATM. Go on and get you $20 out. Go on and get you some change, because you probably don't want to give him the whole 20. But go get you some change and drop that seed. Huh? If you really want to give. If you really meant to give, go ahead and do that thing. Watch God bless you. Don't ever miss an opportunity to give when God puts it on your heart to give and you don't. Now, it's one thing when you can't. Meaning you don't have access to, meaning you're not capable of. But when God puts it on your heart to give, and you give, trust me, you're storing up some gifts in heaven. But if God puts it on your heart to give, and you say, well, not this time, but next time, because I don't feel like taking that extra 5 minutes to drive to the ATM, I'm just saying. Ooh, Jesus, help us. Help us today. Look, y'all, this is good. Y'all blessing me, these comments. Angela says somebody drove by a homeless person and you were able to drop, you were led to drop some coins and watch the seed produce and keep on producing. Yeah. Yeah. That one seed. Y'all, you know what? I need y'all to pray, because I'm not sure what's going on. I'm tempted just to put y'all on hold for a minute, because I have heard. Y'all hear these sirens in the background. y'all do hear these sirens, right? This like the 5th or 6th one since I've been on the air. It's like the 5th or 6th one since I've been on the air. Y'all just pray. I really want to pray. You know what's bad? I'm going to say this, and I really don't want to say it. I really want to pray for snow. I really want to pray for snow and 10-degree weather. To get these idiots off the street, because it's too nice outside right now. Amen. God bless y'all, man. Y'all, this thing is blessed. I'm full right now, y'all. I'm telling y'all, I really could shut this show down and type me out a sermon in these next 30 minutes before I had to get out of here. Oh, Jesus. Help us, Lord. Help us today. Help us today. So, y'all, we got this really good article, and I want to jump into it, man. I want to jump into it because I think it's also going to be a blessing for someone today. I really think it's going to be a blessing for someone today. The article simply says, how to break through when your church seems so small. Watch this. When you don't think you got it, when you don't think you got it, you think you too small, when you don't think you too small, we just talked about the ripple effect. How does that not coincide with this article we're about to get? Angela, what you want me to read, baby? Post it again. I didn't miss it. I don't know if I can scroll up that far. Okay, I see it. Never mind. It says, on a happier note, over at Apostle Hinton's church, Monument of Faith, they bought the bus driver for the church, who was a female, a brand new car. My God. She would drop everyone off and come back when everyone was gone and get on the bus with her and her two children. Wow. Now that's a blessing. Now, see, that's a good – see, I like good stories. And see, nothing wrong with that. Now, watch this out. Apparently, from what if I'm taking this right, the van driver for Monument of Faith Church did not have a car. She caught the bus to church every Sunday. My God. She caught the bus to church on Sunday with her two kids in time to get there to get the church van to go and pick everybody else up and then drop them off. And then she would come back. Am I reading this right? My God. She would come back to the church and then have to get on the bus with her two kids. Wow. And now the church went and bought her a car. Oh, Jesus. See that, right? See? That's that's a shout right there. I don't know about y'all. That's a shout right there. Oh, my God. That's a shout. Hold on.
You know what? That's just what I figured. If you can't get happy about your testimony, nobody else can. But some of you been at death's door. Some of you God paid your bills. Some of you God healed your body. Some of you the Lord changed your mind. Some of you God made a way out of no way. Shake somebody's hand and say, neighbor, he's done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. Now give God a shabbat in this house. Hey! Woo! When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. As a matter of fact, I feel the Holy Ghost.
Oh, my. Okay. See, y'all gotta be willing to get happy for somebody else. Oh, my. Y'all got it. Come on. Woo! Jesus. Help us. When was the last time you just got happy for somebody else? Oh, my. Hi, he got horse. Okay. All right. We got this. Woo! My. Y'all come on in here. Oh, boy. That's good there. You can't help but get happy when somebody else get blessed. I'm sorry. You can't help but if you can't get happy, and see, a lot of times we'll get envious when somebody else gets blessed and we look around and say, well, how come not me, Lord, and why not me and all this other stuff. If you got to be able to get excited about somebody else getting blessed. Here are two amazing stories. Here, the one was the homeless man who gave his last 20 to get somebody gas, and they turned around and took that money to get them some gas, blessed him with coats and hats and gloves, and then still felt they need to do more. Opened a GoFundMe page, raised the man $300,000. Watch this. Then we get the local story. The van driver, at Monument of Faith Church did not have a car, caught the bus to church every Sunday with two kids. Oh, my God. Caught the bus to church every Sunday with two kids, drove everybody else around to pick them up and take them home, brought the church van back every Sunday, and then would get on the bus to catch the bus back home. Public transportation. catch the bus back home. And the church turned around this past weekend and bought her a car. Now, I don't know about y'all, but that's something, see? That's something right there. That's a blessing. That's a, in the words of Dr. Joel M. Dew, ain't that a blessing? My God. Y'all ought to get excited about something about that, man. Be happy for when God blesses somebody else. And be sincerely happy. Not just fake happy, because I'm watching. Be sincerely happy when somebody else gets blessed. Be sincerely happy. Because, you know, we can be a little shady with our congratulations. You know, be like, you see somebody get blessed or something, and your response is, that's nice you got that little old car. Ain't that nice? I'll never forget when we first started this show, and the show got a little popular, and we started blowing up, and people started talking about it, and somebody said, you know, you should use that little old radio show of yours. So see the little backhanded compliment? We don't need them. That ain't celebrating nobody. Oh, God. That ain't celebrating nobody. What you talking about, that little video or something? I remember one year my mom had got a car. They got a new car, right? And people had heard about it, and somebody who, you know, should have been happy for her said, "Oh, that's a cute little old car you got." See, I take that. There's a level of shade in that. Tell you, where's my no sound clip that I just used? I don't see it. Oh, God. I'm just like, what in the world? But, yeah, I'm just like, you know what? It's good, though. But be happy, man. Be happy. Right. Come on now. My. Let's celebrate, people. Look, y'all, we're going to take a real quick break. I'm going to sip me some of this water and clear my throat. Jesus. And we'll be right back. We're going to jump right into today's article, How to Break Through When Your Church Seems So Small. Y'all, we'll be right back, y'all. TTLO.
We hope that you're enjoying today's broadcast. If you have any questions or simply would like to comment on today's show, please give us a call at 347-934-0546, or you can reach us at 855-381-8804. We would like to hear from you.
Hey, y'all, real quick, those of you watching on Facebook Live, give me some thumbs up if y'all video and stuff is good. Some thumbs up and some hearts if y'all videos are good or whatever. My mama on here, y'all, say she can't see or hear nothing. I'm not sure what that's about. You know, I think that might be user error. Y'all pray for the senior citizens trying to use the Facebook. Okay, Angela, you get the thumbs up. That means you can see. Anybody else? There's quite a few of y'all on here. Okay, y'all can see too. Okay, amen. Cheryl Denise King, that's my mama. Cheryl Denise King, it's probably something you done did on your signal is bad. I don't know what to tell you. Your signal is bad. That's why we don't. That's why you can't see nothing. That's all I can tell you, mother. My dear, your signal is bad. That's all I can tell you. Your signal is bad, my dear. Get your signal together, my dear. That's all I. Y'all know I got to mess with my mama. Oh, God. Y'all, it must be. Y'all know I got to mess with my mama. Bless you. You're right, her whole name. That's what we do. She called me by my whole name, whole birth certificate. I didn't call her by her whole name. I could have called her by her whole Catholic confirmed. And my mom used to be Catholic back in the day. She was confirmed a Catholic. You know, she married Jesus with a little white dress on and all that stuff on when she was about 10 or something. I don't know. You know how they do over there with the rosary beads and all that stuff. I know I'm getting myself in trouble. Can I say this real quick before I get in the article? My mama made me, you know, my mama, you know, she do what she do and all that stuff. You know, I think my mama is the best cook on the planet. Y'all may have y'all opinions about y'all's mama, but y'all wrong. But I think my mama is the best cook. My mama made some amazing food, you know, for Thanksgiving. But I finally yesterday ate a piece of pie. Now, I ain't ate no pie. I finally ate that apple pie. My God, it blessed my spirit last night at the 12 a.m. hour. No, I'm sorry. At the 11 p.m. hour. At the 11 p.m. hour last night, I want y'all to know I put a piece of pie down in the oven. I don't put it in the microwave because I don't want my crust to get soggy. I put me a piece of that good old apple cobbler down into the oven and set it on 350 for a good 13 minutes. And I promise you, when I took it out, oh, Jesus, I saw God high and lifted up. Y'all don't want to hear me right now. I saw him high and lifted up. That pie, that apple cobbler was so good, it blessed my whole spirit. I'm trying to help somebody in here today. My whole spirit was blessed. Oh, geez, I just got excited. I should have took me some with me so I could eat it later. I just got mad at myself. The whole cobbler. I just want to help somebody today. If y'all, ooh, I wish y'all could take. Y'all know she made me one that year. That year they surprised me for my birthday. She brought one in here. And, yeah, I didn't want to share it with the people because, you know how that go. But anyway, y'all, we're going to jump right into today's article. It's a good one. It's a good one. It is a good one. How to break through when your church seems so small. Excuse me. How to break through when your church seems so small. That's the topic of conversation today. We're going to just jump right into this thing and hopefully be a blessing. For y'all. Hopefully it's a blessing for y'all. Let's jump right into this. So the writer says this. Excuse me. Ooh, let me get my throat together. The writer says this. The writer says, it's the classic chicken and egg problem that plagues so many leaders. He says there's an 85% chance you're facing it right now because 85% of churches in North America have congregations of less than 200 attendees. Here's the challenge. He says you think that if you have more people and money, you think you could reach more people. But you don't have the people or the team you want, so you feel stuck. Mm-hmm. Early this year, he says, I surveyed over 1,400 pastors of small to mid-sized churches to find out what they struggled with. I learned so much from that survey. He says, I incorporated the learnings into my new course on breaking growth barriers called Breaking 200 Without Breaking You. One of the common refrains leaders voiced was uncertainty about how to lead when they didn't have much money or the right team. He says, after all, most of us visit mega churches and think, if I only had a tenth of their money, and their people, it would instantly solve my problems. And then we go back to our own context and get almost instantly depressed. Mm-hmm. The writer says, so when you have almost no money for ministry and you clearly haven't got the right kind of people in the room, where do you start? He says, believe it or not, neither condition is fatal to your cause. In fact, almost every great movement, church or organization you admire started with no money and no people. So, how can you lead when resources are scarce to non-existent? There are at least five things you can do to help find traction. Let's jump right into this, y'all. Let's jump right into this. Again, today's article, today's topic of conversation, how to break through when your church seems so small. Number one says this, and now this only applies when you have great leaders. But I'm gonna give it to you. Here we go. Number one says this, cast a big vision. Let me share that with you again. Cast a big vision. The writer says this. He says, come on now, computer, act right. Thank you. The writer says, of course, you know that one principal role of the leader is to cast a vision. He says, but what do you do when you have almost nothing other than vision? Well, you cast a big vision. Vision creates something out of nothing. It turns impossibility into reality. Oh, my God. It startles people out of their complacency, stops them from settling for less, and moves them to action they wouldn't otherwise take except for the vision of what could be. Too many leaders forget that vision precedes money and people. Why? Because vision always precedes resources. Sometimes all you have is a vision, and that's enough to get started. Remember, resources follow vision. They never precede it. Oh, my God, I'm going to help somebody. If you want to attract a team and resources, cast a big and clear, compelling vision. Can I help y'all? The worst thing you can do is to say we can't do nothing because we ain't got nothing. I'm gonna help you. We can't do nothing because we ain't got nothing. I'll say that again. Resources always follow vision. They never proceeded. Oh, my God. That thing right there, that just helped me. I don't know about y'all, but that just helped me. We got to recognize that visions are – watch this. God-given visions don't need to have resources to start. You just need to believe in the vision.
Uh-oh.
That just helps somebody. God's vision doesn't need resources. You just need to believe in the vision, and God will then provide the resources. Now, if you get a vision, and God shows you an amazing vision, and then the first thing you say is, oh, well, it sound good, but we can't do it. Then you're done. Then you're done. You're done. You might as well not even, you might as well even not have started. You might as well even not started. Oh my God. It was so much I can dig. This is a deep one, man. Y'all should have. Okay, let me keep it going. Number two says this. Raise your passion level. Okay, here we go. First, you cast a big vision. You have to raise your level of passion. Watch this. The writer says this. Does passion really matter? You bet it does, more than you think. Passion is different than hype. Hype attempts to manufacture something that doesn't quite ring true. Passions run deep. It's authentic. It resonates, and it's contagious. No amount of money can ever substitute for a lack of passion. Woo! Leaders, your team will never be more passionate about the mission than you are. I'll say that again. Leaders, your team will never be more passionate about the mission than you are. If you're disturbed by the lack of passion in your team, look in the mirror. If you're not fogging mirrors, they never will. Can I say that for somebody? The team will never be more passionate than you are. If you are dry, you cast a vision and say, you all, I mean, here's me casting a dry vision with no passion. I believe we can get a brand new church parking lot. And I believe that we can get a brand new sound system. I believe the Lord is going to give us, the Lord has shown me that we're going to get video screens. And I believe that the Lord is going to give us a brand new kitchen. And I believe that these things are going to come to pass. And I need y'all to believe it too. Now, I don't mean no harm, but I didn't believe nothing that I just said out of my own mouth. You know what I'm saying? Because there's a lack of passion. Now, what part of my team is supposed to jump up and want to run through a brick wall for me? That's not going to ignite the passion in my team. That ain't gonna ignite the passion in my team. But if I say this, if I say I believe that we can change the direction and the course of this community, God has already given me the vision to change the course of the direction of this community. I believe we can actually be that light on the hill that we talk about all the time. I believe that we already have what's necessary to go out there and change the lives of the Austin community. See, there's passion in that. You know why there's passion in that? Because I truly believe that that can be done. Oh, God, I believe that can be done. I believe we can change the lives of the young people in Austin community. I believe that. And I believe God will use us to do it. See what I'm saying? There's a difference because I believe that. I believe it. And I believe God has said these things. Whew. That was it. That was number two. Let me get that with y'all. Let me share that with y'all real quick. Let me put this over here from the Ustream people too. Put this up here from the Ustream people. Amen. All right. That's for the Ustream people. Come on. Get that up there for y'all now. I don't know what this thing is waiting on. Come on, Ustream. Act right. Got to share with the people. Amen. All right. And then number two. Let me share this with y'all real quick about raising your passion level. That was number two. Raise your passion level. Amen. There it is. Number two. Now, number three says, start with who you have. Woo. Now that's a hard one. And you know why that's a hard one? Because if you don't think you got nobody, if you down everybody that's in your organization, if you say your whole organization sucks, then you can't, number three ain't going to work for you. But watch this. I like what the writer says. He says, number three, start with who you have. He says, sure, you don't have your dream team. Dream teams don't randomly assemble. They're built. He says, but leaders who wait forever for a dream team to appear eventually have nightmares. So what do you do instead? You start with who you have. Yes, I know you don't have the team you want, and yes, everyone else seems to have a better team. You need to realize, however, that that's where most leaders begin. When the writer says, when I started my ministry at three tiny stagnant churches over 20 years ago, the buildings weren't exactly teeming with high-capacity leaders. So start with the best leaders you can find. If you begin by working with the best people you have in the room, eventually higher-capacity leaders will start to fill the room. Woo! My God! You got to pick out the best people, not just the people, but the best people out of what you have. Even if, watch this, even if out of ones you have, you can only figure out three or four. It don't take a whole lot, y'all. It really don't take a whole lot. But just look what you have. Look, be like the Bible. When they started looking for deacons, you know the real way you're supposed to choose deacons, not the way the church chooses them, but the way the biblical way you're supposed to choose deacons, where the Bible says, look out among you and find seven men of good report. That's what it says, right? I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Look out among you, not pick my best friend to be the pastor or pick my homie to be a pastor, or he dressed nice, he should be a deacon, or he like what I like, so he should be a deacon, or he carries a knife. That's a qualification to make him a deacon. What? Right. But look out among you and pick the best and find seven of them. So you in leadership, you might say, hey, you know what? I ain't got the best team. Maybe you need to reevaluate the team. Maybe you need to look at everybody, look at the folks on the bench. Huh? What did we find out? Some of the best teams have great benches. It ain't always the starters. It's the ones that come off the bench. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. It's the ones that come off the bench. Come on, somebody. It always ain't the people you got in the starting lineup. It's them ones that's sitting on the side that never get a chance to start. Maybe you need to look at the ones on the sideline that don't get a chance to start, and you need to give them a little bit more playing time. Oh, that's going to help somebody. That's going to help somebody. That's going to help somebody. Woo, that just helped me. That's going to help somebody. So that was number three, y'all. That was number three. Start with who you have. Start with who you have. Amen. Start with who you have. Let's keep going, y'all. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. Number four. Number four says this. Focus on what you can do. Focus on what you can do. The writer says this. It's so easy to be negative. In fact, it takes zero work. It's the default of the human condition. As a result, it's easy to complain about everything you lack and what seems impossible. Leaders who focus on what they can't do always miss what they can do. He says, plus, you end up setting a negative tone for the organization when you always talk about what's not possible. What can you do? Answer that and go do it. Keep doing it, and eventually you'll be accomplishing far more than you ever thought. Stop focusing on what you can't do. Church, stop saying, well, we can't do outreach because, you know, we only got 25 members and we really can't do outreach. That's a lie from the pits of hell. That is a lie from the pits of hell. Stop focusing on what you can't do. If you want to be a successful church, do the things you do well. And when you find out those things you do real, real well, put your effort behind those things. That's what successful organizations do. That's what successful churches do. You don't cry about, well, we can't do that. Well, you know, we ain't got no money for that. Well, you know, we can't do that. You know what? It's a whole lot of bodies in the cemetery of folks who had can't in their vocabulary. It's a whole lot of can'ts laying right over here at Woodlawn in Hillside. A whole lot of can'ts. It's a whole lot of can'ts laying out there at Burr Oak. A whole lot of can'ts. Don't have a lot of folk around you that's constantly saying, we can't do that. We can't do this. Oh, you know, we can't do that. Oh, you know, we ain't got enough money for that. Oh, you know, you can't do that. Oh, you know, they ain't going to let you. Can'ts and ain'ts. You know what? Can'ts and ain'ts, stay the hell away from me. Because see, if I fell into the trap of what I can't do, or what I ain't gonna do, or what I ain't finna do, or what you ain't finna let me do, if I fell into that trip, you know what? I would still be somewhere else. Well, you know, they ain't gonna never let you. I ain't about what they gonna let me. God put this thing into motion, not me. If it was up to me, then of course, no. I'd be the first one to say, they ain't gonna let that happen. I just helped myself. But God says, thank you, Holy Ghost. But God says, don't worry about what they say can't happen. Don't worry about what they ain't going to let happen. They said, I preached that thing a while back. Don't worry about what that, all of that. You got to just do what you can do. Focus on the things you can do. Stop having all these programs that don't add up to nothing. Focus on the programs that you do well. If you got outreach programs, successful outreach programs in your church, if you know you got a successful outreach program in your church, you ought to build on that thing. You ought to do everything in your power to make sure they have everything they need. Stop trying to spread the little money you got amongst 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 programs throughout the course of a year. That's foolishness. But if you got 3 or 4 that actually help serve the community, I'll give you a good example, right? So we have a food pantry program here at our church. I got 3 minutes. Let me hurry up. We got a food pantry program here at our church. It's one of the most successful ministries in our church, here at our church, right? One of the most successful ministries in our church. But it is self-sufficient. It is self-sufficient. We take up one offering once a month. But other than that, it is self-sufficient, right? That's it. Now, could we as a church pour more into it? Absolutely. Should we be? Yes. Why? Because it is a successful program. I know. I ain't going to get no amens. It's all right. I ain't going to get an amen. All right. Come on. Come on. Number five. I got 3 minutes. Number five says, believe that this is only the beginning. He says, often as a leader, you can grow so discouraged that you think your current lack whatever, you think your current lack of whatever as the end. Your attitude leaks. When a leader loses confidence, so does the team. Oh, God, I'll say that again. When a leader loses confidence, so does the team. When a leader is bored, the team grows bored. I'm helping somebody. And when a leader is passionless, well, it doesn't take long for a group to lose any sense of enthusiasm. He says, we leaders are dealers in hope. And hope in the mission of the local church is never misplaced. After all, the church was Jesus's idea. Not ours, not yours, not mine. So don't look at your current lack of resources as the end. Look at it as the beginning. He closes out with this. I mean, that's how he closes it out, just like that. Stop talking about what you don't have. Stop talking about this is not, we can only do so much. Do what you can well, people. Do what you can well. God will bless that little seed. Come on now. Drop that quarter in that man's cup. God will bless that little seed. He will bless that thing if you just go ahead and plant that seed. He will bless that thing. Y'all need to recognize that, God. It doesn't take much for him. The Bible says if you have the faith of a mustard seed, like that of a mustard seed. So it don't take much. I got 30 seconds. Father God, we thank you for everything that you've done for us, God. We thank you, God. We thank you for this amazing Thanksgiving weekend, God. We hope everyone came back safely, God. We thank you, God, for just being a continual blessing to us, God. Right now we're praying, God, for the mother and child that was struck down right out here on Central and Fulton about 2 hours ago, God. We don't know the circumstances, God, but we know that you are a healer and that you are a doctor in a sick room, God. So we're asking right now, God, that you would send all of your healing angels to them right now, God. We ask that you would continue to bless us and keep us in all the things that we would do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, y'all, I got to go. Y'all have blessed me today. Look, watch this, y'all. Be a ripple effect. Start a small ripple, a small ripple. It does not take much. Be a small ripple. Be a blessing to somebody. Do something for somebody else. Do it this week, right? Matter of fact, do it today and tomorrow and tell me about it on Wednesday. Try to be a cause and effect for somebody, a stranger, somebody on your job that you probably don't even talk to, that you barely speak to, somebody that you pass on the street. Just do something for somebody this week. and watch how that ripple effect. You might not see the ripple effect of it, but know that you planted a seed, and that seed is going to grow. God bless y'all, man. Y'all have, oh my God, y'all have blessed me today. I got to go. I wish I could stay, but I can't. I got to go. But y'all have been a blessing, man. Look, it's been amazing. It's amazing. I love y'all. I appreciate y'all so much. All y'all on Facebook, God bless y'all. I got to go, man. I got to go. Bless y'all so much. Some of y'all came in. I didn't get to speak to y'all. Y'all came in late. I see some new names up there. Y'all know what to do. If y'all watching this later on, look, if you're watching this show later, if you're watching the replay of this later, feel free to make your comments. We love reading the comments afterwards because some of y'all be commenting like we live on the air, and I love it. And I respond, too. So y'all go ahead and keep watching and keep commenting or whatever you got to do, and y'all just stay blessed, man. And look, please be safe. Be careful. Mind your surroundings while y'all out here shopping, doing all this, spending all this Christmas money. Please be mindful of where you are. Be mindful of your surroundings. Y'all stay blessed. I love y'all. Stay blessed. And if you got to drive through the city, keep your head on a swivel. Y'all stay blessed, man. TTLO. Bye.